Hello, everyone.
We're glad you all joined us once again.
Yes, we are. And right now, Uncle Dan has another thrilling Bible story for us.
My story today is really a continuation of the life of Absalom, King David's son. It's adapted from 2 Samuel, chapters 15 to 18. I call it
Absalom, the Rebellious Prince.
For many months, Absalom, the proud and wicked son of David, has schemed and contrived to overthrow his father, the king of Israel. By flattery and beguilement, Prince Absalom succeeded in winning the hearts of many of the people. And Absalom arose and went to Hebron, and with him went 200 invited guests, who knew not of Absalom's design to make himself king. Upon arriving at Hebron, Absalom sent for Ahithophel, David's wisest and most able counselor.
Greetings and salutations to Crown Prince Absalom.
I appreciate your willing and immediate response to my summons, Ahithophel. I have some important matters to discuss with you.
It is a pleasure to obey my sovereign.
Sovereign? I'm only the Crown Prince. David, my father, is your sovereign.
Ah, yes, but it is the Crown Prince's design to be sovereign, is it not?
What makes you think that?
I recognize the signs. I know you pretty well, Prince Absalom, from your youth up. You are not naturally inclined to mix with the common people at city gates and curry their favor. Neither are you inclined to accept the disgrace of banishment without revenge. I know you well enough to know that you care not one whit for religious things, yet you come here to pay a sacred vow made in Gishu. So you claim. There is some deep-rooted reason behind all these things. Revenge, perhaps? Not entirely. What then? power, ambition, greed, the throne of Israel. You intend that the crown resting on your father's head shall rest on yours, regardless of the means employed to gain it.
Those are pretty harsh and daring words to speak to a crown prince.
Pretty harsh and daring truths, Your Highness. And I dare speak them because I too hate David, for the way he treated my granddaughter Bathsheba. I am in complete harmony with your ambitions, Prince Absalom. And I shall lend all my abilities toward that end.
How long have you known these things?
A long time, Your Highness. Many months.
Yet you have appeared to be a friend of my father, the king.
No more than you have appeared to be an obedient, dutiful son.
There is truth in that, all right. Yet I am a little surprised that you have not spoken of these things to His Majesty.
On the contrary, I have been working in your behalf. While you were stationing spies throughout the kingdom to proclaim you king at a given signal, I've been fomenting unrest here in Hebron and making sure that everything is in readiness for your coronation.
It is obvious why you are considered in high repute for wisdom, one whose opinion is thought to be as safe and wise as that of a prophet of God.
I've already made it known in certain circles and high places that I have joined your conspiracy, Prince Absalom. This makes your cause appear more certain of success. It has attracted the support of many influential men from all parts of the kingdom.
This I realize, Ahithophel. You shall be properly rewarded.
Appreciation and reward is all I ask.
How soon, in your opinion, should this signal be given for the rebellion to proclaim me king?
The sooner the better. The element of surprise will work in our favor.
I see no reason why it can't be immediately, then. At sunup tomorrow, let the signal be given.
There is the signal.
Fellow Israelites, a new king has come to the throne. Absalom is king at Hebron. Long live the king.
Long live the king.
By direction of His Majesty, Absalom, King of Israel, all Israelites are urged to go immediately to Hebron and there participate in the festivities of this great day of joy and gladness.
And the conspiracy against David was strong, for the people answered the call and came to Hebron in increasing numbers.
You deserted the Israelite army under command of General Joab?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Why?
Why not, Your Majesty? I've served long and faithfully under King David and General Joab. With what reward? None. Like everyone else, Your Majesty, I must look out for myself. Besides, I think we need a new king, a new army. And what man is better fitted to be king than the wise and just Absalom? And
who is better qualified to head the new army than you? Is that it?
I am fearless, Your Majesty. Gallant, brave. I've served under the greatest general of them all, Joab. From him I have learned many things. I am also...
I am convinced. You are herewith the general of all my forces. Your first duty... Prepare the army to invade Jerusalem immediately.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Bathsheba! Bathsheba!
Yes, David. Why, David, you look ill. What's happened?
I'm worried, Bathsheba, and deeply concerned.
Has something gone wrong in your court?
Worse than that, my dear. I hesitate to talk about this because it's really my own fault.
What?
Ever since I committed my great sin against you and Uriah and God, I've been slow to correct faults in others, hesitant to pronounce sentence on sinners, especially my own sons. And now comes news that one of my sons, the son I loved and trusted, has turned against me and plans to usurp the throne and take my life.
Absalom?
Absalom.
Oh, David, but the people love you. Certainly any insurrection against you is doomed to failure.
No, Bathsheba. Since my sin, I have shirked my duty as judge and king. The people have a right to be dissatisfied. Absalom has won their affection. They want him as their king. Absalom has better than a good chance to win.
But you certainly intend to try to stop him.
Look out there, Bathsheba. This is Jerusalem. It is God's city, a holy city. Over there rests the Ark of God, a symbol of his presence here in Jerusalem. Up there is the site of a future temple for God. This is the chosen place for God's people. I cannot permit blood to be shed within the walls of this holy city.
What are you going to do?
Abdicate the throne and flee to a safer place.
And let Absalom take over without even a struggle?
Oh, that's better than shedding blood. I've called together all the members of my court, the elders, wise men, and men of importance of Jerusalem, to a special conclave. I shall inform them of the situation and let each do as seemeth best. In the meantime, I want you and all my household to get ready to flee. We must travel swiftly, lightly, so take only such things that are absolutely necessary. Be ready to go on a moment's notice. I consider each person assembled here as my personal friend. Yet this is no time to let friendships and personalities stand in the way of individual conviction. Israel has arrived at the crossroads. Each of you must make his own decision. I have decided that there shall be no blood shed in Jerusalem. To avoid this, I am abdicating the throne and leaving Jerusalem.
But Your Majesty, are you going to permit Absalom to take over without a struggle?
For the moment, yes. This has all come about so suddenly that we're not prepared to defend our cause. By fleeing, I am giving myself time to ready a defense, and the people time to ponder their course and make their decisions. The horrors of a long civil war and a prolonged siege of Jerusalem are to be averted at all costs.
Behold, O King, we, your servants, are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king deems best. Amen.
I'm glad I decided to leave Jerusalem. It shall not be deluged with blood. The horrors of war shall not fall upon God's chosen city.
We're ready to leave any time you are, David. Do you think we'll ever come back?
Only God knows that, my dear. Well, come on, Bathsheba. We've got to go before Absalom gets here, or there will be bloodshed.
In humility and sorrow, David passed out of the gate of Jerusalem, driven from his throne, from his palace, from the Ark of God by the insurrection of his cherished son. Many people followed in long, sad procession like a funeral train.
At least we're protected by the royal guard of those 600 men, made up of the Carathites, the Pelathites, and the Gittites.
Yes, but I can't permit them to share in our flight and humiliation.
Why not, David? Perhaps they want to.
They're strangers, Bathsheba. Having but recently come from foreign countries, I'd feel condemned if I let them become involved in my calamity. I'd better speak to Ittai, their commander. Greetings, Ittai, to you and your men.
Greetings, Your Majesty. I trust all goes well with you and your household.
Yes, as well as can be expected. Ittai, I'm somewhat surprised to see you coming with us.
Why, Your Majesty?
Well, you and your men accepted the God of Israel as your personal God. You left your native country and have faithfully served in my armies. But I'm no longer king. Absalom, my son, is. Soon he'll be in Jerusalem, sitting upon the throne. Why, then, do you go with me? Return to your barracks in Jerusalem and abide with King Absalom. I simply cannot permit you to go. So return to the city, Ittai. Take your men with you. And may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you.
We came to you for protection, Your Majesty. You gave it gladly, happily. As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be.
Gratefully, Ittai, do I accept your devotion and the devotion of your men to my cause. I appreciate, and I'm certain God does too, your noble fidelity to your God and your king. Bathsheba, Ittai refuses to leave, he and his men. It's a bright spot in a dark horizon. Perhaps there are more people on my side than there appears to be.
Oh, I'm sure, David, that everything's going to turn out all right. Things usually
wait,
do.
Wait, listen. The people back there seem excited about something.
I think I hear them saying something about the Ark.
The Ark?
The Ark of God.
Salutations, Your Majesty.
Greetings, Zadok. You brought the Ark?
Yes, Your Majesty. The presence of the Ark is to the people a symbol and pledge of deliverance, an ultimate victory. It will encourage people to rally to your support, O King. Its absence from Jerusalem will bring terror to the adherents of Absalom.
But Zadok, who gave you authority to remove the Ark from its appointed place?
Do I need authority, Your Majesty? The presence of God, his ark, belongs with you, the true and rightful king of Israel.
No, Zadok, the presence of God between the cherubims of the ark should remain in Jerusalem, its rightful resting place. No one except by direct command of God has the right to remove the ark from the holy city. Now take it back, Zadok.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, if my sins have not been too grievous in the sight of the Lord, he will bring me again to Jerusalem and to the ark. But if not, then let him do to me as he sees best.
As you wish, Your Majesty.
You are a seer, Zadok. When you get back to Jerusalem, you and Abiathar, together with your two sons, can do the crown a great service.
His Majesty need but command.
As chief priests, you and Abiathar can come and go in the royal palace, the throne room, the public places and gatherings as you wish. Be on the alert. If anything important happens, or is about to happen, send Ahimeaz, your son, or Jonathan, Abiathar's son, to me with the tidings. Learn all you can of the movements and purposes of the rebels, and keep me informed.
Yes, Your Majesty.
As the priest turned back toward Jerusalem, carrying the Ark of God, a deeper shadow fell upon the throne. Their king, a fugitive, themselves outcasts, forsaken even by the Ark of God. The future was dark with terror and foreboding. And David went up by the ascent of Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And there came to David a messenger, saying,
Your Majesty,
Oh, King, be it known to you that your wise man and counselor, Ahithophel, has joined the conspirators with Absalom and seeks to take your crown and your life.
Oh, thank you. God be with you and bless you.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
My grandfather joined the conspirators? Why, it seems impossible.
I'm not too surprised, Bathsheba. He's probably long chafed at the disgrace I brought upon the family name.
But he seemed so friendly and concerned. A true friend to you and the crown of Israel.
The defection of Ahithophel, the ablest and most wily of political leaders, is a boon to Absalom's cause and a calamity to mine. Unless God intervenes. Oh, Lord God of heaven, I pray, if it be thy will, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness.
And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of Mount Olivet, that he bowed down and worshipped the Lord, casting upon God the burden of his soul, and humbly supplicating divine mercy. His prayer seemed to be at once answered.
May God bless the king and cause him to live forever.
Hushai, what are you doing here with your clothes torn and ashes upon your head?
I came to serve and assist my king.
You're a wise and able counselor. You're proved to be a faithful and true-hearted friend. You're an answer to my prayer. You are the very one needed to serve my interests in the councils of Absalom at the capital. God sent you to me, and I send you back to Jerusalem.
Perhaps Absalom will not accept me in his councils. What then?
But he will. Say to him, O king, as I have been your father's servant, so will I now also be your servant.
So be it, O king.
Ahithophel is with Absalom. I want you there mainly to defeat the council of Ahithophel.
I shall return to Jerusalem immediately.
And Absalom and all the people who were with him came to Jerusalem. And Absalom set himself upon the throne of David, his father. Then came to him Hushai, David's counselor.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
Hushai, you here? Why are you not with David, your friend? Is desertion the way to treat a friend?
No, my lord. Whom the Lord God, the people, and all the men of Israel choose to be their king, his will I be, and with him will I serve.
Well, that's sensible.
Why should I not serve in the presence of David's son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your service.
I can understand your feeling. By serving me, you are still serving the house of David. I am now more certain than ever that my cause shall succeed. You are a wise counselor, Hushai, and I shall call upon you for counsel as the occasion demands.
Thank you, my lord. Long live the king.
Amasa, your scouts. How do they report the present position of David and his fellow fugitives?
According to the latest report, Your Majesty, they are still this side of the River Jordan. They are stopped to rest, probably, for the night.
Ah, success. Victory is mine. Call a hurried meeting of all my court, wise men, and counselors. We will put an immediate end to the whole affair, avoiding a long and costly civil war. Members of my court, you are all happy, as I am, that we have had far greater success than any of us anticipated. Complete success will be ours. The throne will be firmly established in my hands as soon as we dispose of David and his followers. Just how to accomplish this is the immediate problem. I am happy to report that we have the wisest and most able counselor in the entire world on our side. I refer to Ahithophel. I have asked Ahithophel to consider the matter and give us, now, his counsel.
Your Majesty, wise men, members of the royal court, gentlemen, I am overjoyed that His Majesty Absalom has finally come to the throne of Israel. We now have a just, kind, and popular king, a king who has already won the hearts of Israel and shall not be long in winning the hearts of the nations of the world. Now then, as to a speedy and complete victory, David evacuated Jerusalem on a moment's notice. He and his followers have traveled all day over rugged and rough country. Oh, they must be tired and weary. Surely David has had no time to organize any kind of resistance. And right now, he is an easy victim to any opposing force, however small. Therefore, I suggest that His Majesty permit me to choose 12,000 men, and I will pursue after David this very night. If we fall upon David now, while he and his men are weary, unorganized, dispirited, they'll panic, and the war will be over before it has scarcely begun. Under the darkness of night, we shall capture and kill David only. All the other people shall be left alive to become loyal subjects of His Majesty, King Absalom. And once again, peace shall reign in Israel.
A very wise plan. It pleases me greatly. The rest of you, wise men, elders, statesmen, what think you of the plan? What think you of the plan, Hushai? Is not Hushai present?
He was not invited, Your Majesty.
Well, go get him immediately. I would know his opinion. Hushai, what think you of the plan of Ahithophel?
Ahithophel is held in high esteem, both by thy father and by yourself, as well as all Israel. He is a wise man. But if I may remind his lordship, his force is composed mostly of men untrained for war. My lord well knows the valor and tireless courage of his father David and his army of long experience. They are truly mighty warriors. True, they fled Jerusalem in haste, yet this will work for them, not against them, as suggested by Ahithophel.
It will? How?
Well, they are tired. So they will be easily aroused to anger as a mother bear robbed of her cubs. Your father is a man of war. He is too wise and experienced to lodge with his men. Rather, he will be hidden in some pit or some other place. Even if my lord does pursue David immediately, he will not capture David, and should my lord fail in this mission and suffer a reverse, it will do much to dishearten the people of Israel and do great harm to your cause.
Yes. Above all, we must succeed.
Ahithophel's counsel of an immediate attack would, under ordinary circumstance, be wise and good. It has a bare possibility of immediate success. On the other hand, the plan that I have outlined, though it be a waiting and delayed action, is sure of final success. It is far better to be sure of eventual success than take a chance of failure in an attempt for immediate success.
Ahithophel, home so early? There must have been a short session of court today.
I came home early.
What's the matter with you? Never saw you quite so grouchy.
The king prefers the counsel of Hushai to mine. Mine. I am the wisest man in all Israel, and yet the king prefers Hushai's counsel to mine.
Oh, dear, don't worry. The king will soon forget all about it.
Forget it? There will be no Absalom left to forget it or remember it. Absalom is taking the advice of Hushai. A fatal mistake. The cause of the rebels is lost. David will win. And if that happens, my cause is lost. I am lost.
Right now you're upset, jealous, angry. Calm down. Play a waiting game and join the winning side.
No, no, there is no hope for me. There really isn't. It's the same old story. Satan allured me with flattering promises, as he does, or tried to do with all people. Oh, but I have learned too late that the wages of sin is death.
What are you going to do?
Put my affairs in order. Then hang myself.
Hushai, not certain that his counsel of delay would be followed by the fickle Absalom, lost no time in sending a warning to David to escape beyond the Jordan River immediately. David and all his company, warriors and statesmen, old men and youth, women and children, in the darkness of night crossed the deep and swift-flowing Jordan and lies in Mahanaim, a strong, fortified city surrounded by a mountainous district favorable for retreat in case of war.
Your Majesty.
Yes, Joab.
We arrived here none too soon, sire. Huh? Absalom has become impatient and already started in pursuit. Amasai is his commander-in-chief.
At least Hushai's counsel and Absalom's temporary yielding to that counsel has given us time to get here and organize. Joab, you will meet Absalom and fight as we planned.
Yes, sir.
You'll take one battalion, Abishai another, and Ittai the third. You'll engage Absalom and his army in the wooded section along the Jordan, where his large, untrained army will be at a great disadvantage.
Right, sir.
I'll be watching from the city wall.
Dayan! Halt! Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Men, please deal kindly with Absalom for my sake.
The large army of Absalom's met the warriors of David in a woods near the Jordan River. Among the thickets and marshes of the forest, Absalom's undisciplined troops became confused and unmanageable, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 of his men.
Amasa, General Amasa, what report do you have of the battle?
The battle is lost, Your Majesty. David's men are too much for my army. You'd better flee for your life.
I'd better flee, too, before David's men discover me. Get up there. Move!
As Absalom whirled his steed about, the mule lurched forward under the boughs of a great oak tree, taking his rider with him. In the excitement, Absalom's great shock of hair became entangled in the branches of the tree, jerking him off the mule and leaving the prince hanging in midair.
Amasa! 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 Come back! Help! Help! Someone help me! Help!
And a certain man saw it and told Joab, David's general. And Joab and his 10 armor-bearers came quickly to where the young man Absalom was.
Well, 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 whom do we have here? Could this be the proud Prince Absalom who plotted to kill his father and make himself king?
Well, aren't you going to let me down?
Let you down, Prince Absalom? Twice I befriended and helped you. Twice I brought about a reconciliation between you and your father, the king. And both times, you betrayed my faith and confidence in you. If it had not been for me, you would never have been able to start your evil rebellion.
But I am the eldest son of the king. My father will forgive me. Oh, help me down, Joab, and I
will... Let you down? Never. You shall die the death of a traitor.
And Joab took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom. The princely Absalom, whose glorious beauty had been the pride of Israel, was cut down in the vigor of his youth, his dead body cast into a pit and covered with a heap of stones in token of everlasting reproach. During his lifetime, Absalom had reared for himself a costly monument in the King's Dale, but the only memorial which marked his grave was that of stones in the wilderness.